You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
The most unabashedly Wisconsin show on your radio dial. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06 on this Thursday morning, September 19th. Nice to have you here up north. This radio network from Civic Media and Up North News, a separate entity run by Courier Newsroom, are all about something called civic engagement, which by and large means, you know, voting more, but it also means just being more involved, knowing who's on your school board, getting other friends to vote, showing up at, town board meetings more often to know what's going on, maybe making more donations or volunteering more time. And you can do that on your own, but it's always more fun when you do it with a group. And we're seeing more of that. The best example on this show would be Motherhood for Good. A group of moms that got together and said, we have to stop ignoring politics. There's weird things happening out there. Let's be more active. But they're far from the only ones. And coming up this hour, we're going to talk to some folks in a group called Northern Door Activism from Door County. And our friends from Motherhood for Good will be along as well, part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment, about how this group, mainly women, got together after the Dobbs decision and decided they had to increase their civic engagement. And so we'll check in with them. We're also shortly going to play some audio from a state capitol news conference earlier this week that lays out the ways that Republican elected officials and Republican law enforcement officers are intimidating local elections officials, trying to frighten voters, and trying to undermine confidence in Wisconsin's elections. So that all is coming up. Brittany Merlot is standing by with a forecast as well. But first, let's go on with the Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest. We do that four times a day here across the Civic Media Radio Network, where we give you a keyword that you text on the Civic Media app. And each one of those times, we pick one entry statewide at random. And the winner will get either $100 cash or gold jewelry, depending on what's up for grabs that hour. And then of all the entries, there will be one grand prize winner getting a pair of tickets. And these are indoor tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. The contest happens every weekday at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. You have to text the keyword in the app before the end of this hour. And one more note, you'll receive a response message with an optional way to click on a link to earn additional entries into the contest, but that, again, is totally optional. Remember, other Civic Media shows and stations are also taking part in this statewide contest. So if you haven't got the Civic Media app yet, get going. Here is this hour's keyword for some gold jewelry. That's the prize this hour. Gold jewelry could be yours if your entry is picked for texting the word democracy. And like any good spelling bee, let me give it to you. D-E-M-O-C-R-A-C-Y. Again, D-E-M-O-C-R-A-C-Y, democracy. Text that word. You'll be in the running for some gold jewelry and maybe some tickets to see the Green and Gold play a game in Green Bay in December. And again, your next chance will be during the 11 a.m. hour for the Go for the Green or Gold Tech to Win contest. Another beautiful morning. The windows are open here up on Lake Wissota. Hopefully don't need the air conditioner. I know it's still going to be a little warm, Brittany Merlot, but right now it's a little cloudy and it's very fresh out there. And I'd like that very much to continue, but, you're the boss, applesauce. You know what the forecast actually says. So,
oh, that is awesome.
Good morning.
DJ what do we got? DJ
Applesauce boss, yeah.
Yes.
What do we got today?
Applesauce boss. Well, Pat, I am sending some showers and storms your way any minute now. They are headed towards the Eau Claire Chippewa Valley, also in towards Rice Lake, Superior, Wisconsin. That line is also down south into La Crosse. It'll be working its way more central throughout the morning hours. It'll start to fizzle out this afternoon, but then another line of storms. These could be strong to severe. Fire up mainly after 3 to 4 p.m. this afternoon off into the western parts of the state. It'll start to push in, and of course, we are in a slight risk for severe weather from La Crosse through Superior and into parts of central Wisconsin. We are looking at the possibility of some damaging wind gusts and also hail with this line of storms. In terms of rainfall, in some areas you could get near an inch, but the rest of us, for widespread, we're looking at about a quarter of an inch to a half an inch of rain. So as this moves through the overnight hours, it will hit everybody throughout the state, winding down by early tomorrow morning. And then we've got some sunshine right behind it. So in terms of, do you need the AC today? Yeah, you still do. Low to mid 80s still felt, and we've got some of that mugginess moving in with that rainfall as well. So it's going to start to feel a little bit more humid. And then by tomorrow, with the sunshine, we're still hanging on to some warmth. You're still going to need the AC. In fact, you're probably going to need it till at least Sunday. Then we can shut it off.
Brittany, I just said I'd opened up the windows.
I know.
Clearly haven't looked at the radar for a little while here, and I just pulled it up right now.
Close
and
the
it's
windows.
Gonna rain. I got to go around and close all the windows now, and I got to turn on the air conditioning a little bit later on. Why don't?
I'm sorry.
Can we just start to get you in here at, like, you know, instead of 7:07? Can we bring you in here at, like, you know, 6:07? Maybe 5:07, just for a personalized forecast, so I know if I can open my windows or not.
Brittany, do you just want to take up in the guest bedroom at the Kreitlow house and give hourly updates on what's going on?
Set up
a
little weather station.
Right? That would be kind of fun. Do I get keys to the pontoon?
I was going
to
say.
Absolutely.
I'm in, yes.
All right. I like this. We got this figured out. Brittany, thanks so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Well, I better get through all the headlines here so I can go back and close all the windows here before too much longer. Again, democracy is the key word that you're looking for in the Text to Win contest. Text us through the Civic Media app. And let's talk briefly, and we'll do it again at least once or twice more, about the Brewers clinching the National League Central Division title. They actually clinched it during the afternoon when the Cubs lost their game, but then the Brewers came along and they defeated the Philadelphia Phillies. Jake Bowers with a walk-off RBI single in the bottom of the ninth to beat Philly 2-1. And give, again, the Brewers that playoff berth by clinching the Central Division. They now continue to stay home for the remainder of the weekend here. Philly leaves. Arizona comes in. Four games against the D-backs starting tonight at 6:40. Pregame 6:05 across some of the stations here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And for the Packers, quarterback Jordan Love engaged in some limited practice for the first time since injuring his left knee, but still too soon to say when he will play, if he will play this weekend. Otherwise, Malik Willis will get the start, quarterbacking against his former team, the Tennessee Titans. 7:14 right now, and let's unpack some of the headlines by first acknowledging that what you're about to hear is, in my mind, a confession by a law enforcement officer to election intimidation. This is a state capitol news conference that was held day before yesterday. Congressman Tom Tiffany was a part of it. Fond du Lac County DA Eric Toney was a part of it. And so is Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt, who is about to outline for you how he intimidated every local elections clerk in his county to not offer ballot drop boxes, despite the Wisconsin Supreme Court declaring them to be legal for use. At the news conference, there was, from all of these Republican officials and law enforcement officials, the usual support of voter suppression tactics. And there are three of them here. First is to undermine public confidence in election integrity by continuously casting unfounded doubts on election integrity. Second, demonizing non-white voters, raising doubts about their legal status, or trying to intimidate legal voters by raising the specter of criminal penalties for voting improperly. And third, erecting obstacles to legal voting, such as drop boxes, get out the vote efforts, registration drives, absentee voting, and more. In this case, Sheriff Schmidt shows you how he has taken it upon himself to become Dodge County's legal interpreter, its supreme election law authority. You're going to hear him cast doubts on drop boxes based on his extreme interpretation of how the state Supreme Court and the Wisconsin Elections Commission provided guidance for using drop boxes. We'll talk about it here on the other side. Here again is Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt.
In Dodge County, I've worked with our clerks to make sure they have solid processes with ballot drop boxes. If they want one, they certainly have the right to do so. The Supreme Court has said they can have a drop box. But the Supreme Court has also said that every person who votes by a ballot drop box may only vote for themselves unless they're dropping off something, one for somebody else who can't get there. So what does that mean? Somehow, our clerks need to make sure that that person dropping off a ballot in the ballot drop box, per the Supreme Court, is only dropping off theirs. How do our clerks do that? Do we have cameras taking pictures? Are we somehow making sure that the person that dropped it off is, in fact, the person that's on that ballot? How are we making sure that we're complying with the most recent Supreme Court decision? Our clerks in Dodge County have all unanimously made the decision that they can't do that, and they are not having ballot drop boxes. And I'm proud of them for doing that, because that's going to ensure election integrity in Dodge County, as it has been for so many years. I would urge other clerks across the state to ask those same questions.
That was not a legal interpretation or a defense of election security so much as it was a confession. That is a Republican sheriff taking it upon himself because of the apparent rampant voter fraud in his county. That's sarcasm, by the way, to take it upon himself to pay a visit to each local clerk and tell them how he sees drop boxes as still not secure enough. So, you know, do what you think is basically what he says to each clerk. And what clerk is going to say, well, gosh, sheriff, that's a wild legal analysis, which you are completely out of bounds for doing. Now get out of my office before I call the Wisconsin Department of Justice and ask them to examine whether you are violating Wisconsin Statute 12.09, paragraph 2, which says no person may by duress impede or prevent the free exercise of the franchise of an election. Wisconsin law also prohibits anyone from intending to cause public panic or fear or the interruption or impairment of government operations, including the electoral process. Now, is any local clerk going to say that to Sheriff Schmidt's face? No. And that's why the voters of Dodge County aren't going to have access to drop boxes in November. Now, we'll go back and look at exactly what he said, talk about the interpretation, and then what Congressman Tom Tiffany and the Fond du Lac County DA had to say to further the attempts at voter intimidation on the other side of this break. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. In honor of Jason Sudeikis turning 48 years old today, this is Up North News Radio. It's a Wednesday morning, September 18th. Pat Kreitlow, Greg Bach. We'll have Todd Alba coming up in a little while. Our homeroom segment is just less than 15 minutes away right now. But we were talking into the break when Elizabeth was here about IVF and the whole matter of trust. When we hear that IVF access will be protected, we have to remember that, again, going into the break and talking about whether fertilized eggs meet the legal definition of a child is at stake. And that even though Republicans, including Donald Trump, who surprised a lot of people by saying he's going to try to mandate that insurance companies cover IVF, there's still a not tiny fraction of his supporters, of Republicans, who are outraged by that, and they absolutely want every single embryo to count as a person, and that means that doctors, clinicians, potential parents, and others could be prosecuted. for you know, the disposal of excess embryos that aren't being used. There is a trust issue there because some of these same folks, like J.D. Vance, like Donald Trump, are continuing to lie about the basics of abortion. This that you're about to hear from J.D. Vance, this isn't from yesterday in Eau Claire. This was from over the weekend, although I wouldn't doubt if he said it in Eau Claire because he and Trump say it repeatedly. Give a listen to how they are still talking about abortion.
Now, before President Trump, America had the most extreme abortion laws in the world, allowing abortion up to the moment of birth for any reason at all, paid for by taxpayers, and very often with the federal government threatening Christian charities and hospitals that if they didn't do what the progressives wanted them to do, they would get shut down. Now, thanks to President Trump, we have turned the page and our nation has a chance for a fresh start. And today, we all say together, unafraid, we are proud to be the pro-life party in the United States of America.
Now, before when you hear all of that, does that sound like somebody that's going to be okay with the disposal of fertilized eggs that parents decide that they no longer need because they've been able to start the family at the size of the family that they wanted so badly? Or does this sound like somebody who, in defending religious organizations that do not provide adequate information and, in fact, oftentimes try to steer women wrong, doesn't this sound like somebody that would go down that road in terms of mandating, dictating to people what they have to do and the penalties they might face if they were to use IVF in the way that IVF is being used right now? If you're willing to lie about abortion and say that it's still taking place in the ninth month or even after birth, when that's not what abortion is, what that is, it's a medical catastrophe on the part of a fetus that has such abnormalities that it is not compatible with life. But when you tar that as some kind of elective abortion procedure, when you lie about federal funding being used for it, when you take the side of so-called medical organizations that do not provide full information and in fact lie themselves to try to mislead pregnant women and their families, you haven't earned a lot of trust points when it comes to protecting IVF. So that vote yesterday in Washington, D.C. was in fact necessary. J.D. Vance should have been there to cast a vote, and the vote should have been yes. Same goes with Ron Johnson, who talks about his daughter's IVF journey. And yet he votes no because, as he said last time around, well, think about how much that would cost if Donald Trump's plan would go through that it requires insurance companies, health insurance companies, to pay for IVF. That's Ron Johnson saying, well, you know, my daughter, you know, thanks to my being rich, she can do IVF, but it might cost taxpayers money for somebody else to start a family. So it's different levels of protection based on how wealthy you are. But he should have voted yes. And Donald Trump should have been to Washington, D.C. yesterday, urging fellow Republicans to vote yes, to protect IVF and to put that behind them. Again, the big problem you have, and it's such an easily fixable problem for the Republican Party, is they could put things behind them. They could say, we actually are for IVF, so we're going to vote on this bill, and we're going to put it behind us. We're actually going to get behind the Affordable Care Act, because initially, it was a conservative idea. It uses private insurance companies, and so we're going to declare victory, and we're going to put that behind us. We're going to vote for the bipartisan immigration and border security bill, and we're going to put that behind us, and we're going to look forward on how we can address some of the other ongoing challenges of this country. But instead of putting things behind them, they want to fight the same battles over and over and over again, because it's all about the battle. It's all about the elections. It's all about the votes on election day. rather than actually solving something. And so we find ourselves in this situation of having to talk about the same topics repeatedly for a reason. And it's our job to explain the reason why. We don't want to be talking about these things every single day. We would like to put these things behind us. But we want all of our friends and neighbors to understand why we're in this Groundhog's Day worthy loop of policy debates and votes, and then more debates and more votes, and more debates and more votes. And it's exactly the kind of thing that we're seeing here in Wisconsin as well, where the Republican-led legislature could have gone along with Governor Evers and funded child care accounts and addressed the child care crisis. And we would have been able to put that behind us. They could release the money for treating contaminated water that has PFAS industrial chemicals, and we could put that behind us. They could release the money that's meant to help with health, a healthcare crisis in the Chippewa Valley with two hospitals closing, and we could put it behind us. And finally, with a multi-billion dollar surplus, they could finally fix school funding so we wouldn't have to have over 100 referendums every cycle. And we could fairly fund schools, and we could put that behind us and look forward with a healthier state economy and with healthier schools. We're going to talk about some of that last topic with our guests coming up right after this break on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We got plenty of that today on this Thursday morning, September 19th. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. Pat Kreitlow here. Kate Duffy over here as well from Motherhood for Good. Nicole off this week. Kate, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I will never get tired of the fact that you and the other Motherhood for Good folks get together and find new ways to engage voters, most recently with a new video that you put together and put up to, you know, again, give ideas for ways to talk to your friends about voting and about the importance of voting, which really is at the heart of all this. We've talked about increasing civic engagement, and it really all starts with taking that time. Even if there's 70% voter turnout, which people say is a huge number, that's still 3 out of 10 people not voting. There is definitely somebody, Kate, that every one of us can reach out to and talk about the importance of showing up on Election Day.
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, studies show that one of the most impactful things that you can do to help voter turnout is just reach out to the people that you know, which, you know, sort of seems like common sense. People trust their friends, their family members, the people they already know in their life. So if you reach out to those people, they are more likely to get out and go and vote. And also, you can be a really helpful resource for them, for helping them find races that are on their ballots, information on the different candidates. It's just the best way. And it's, you know, you can do it whenever you want, whenever you have time. You can text, you can call, drop on by, whatever you want.
And it can be an individual thing, or it can be a thing that you do with the group. You obviously helped put together the group Motherhood for Good. And today, instead of talking to a single candidate or leader, we're talking with people who formed their own group in Door County. Why don't you tell us about it as we bring in our guests?
Yes, I'm so excited to have these guests here. These are some of the ladies from Northern Door Activism who I'm excited to talk to because I've actually never met either, although I've admired their work from afar. I believe they started activism online in the Instagram space mostly around the same time I did in 2022. And they're up in Door County, and they really focus on activism and bringing community members together up there. So I would love for you guys to, I don't know who wants to start, but we have a couple different guests here and would love for you guys to talk about your group and how you got started.
Sure. Yeah. I'll jump in unless either of you want to.
Go ahead, Emma.
We started in 2022.
You know what, Emma? But before you do, Emma, let's introduce yourself. You're Emma Cox from Northern Door Activism.
That's right. I'm Emma, and I'm with Northern Door Activism.
And Emily, introduce yourself.
Yes, Emily Kranak, also from Northern Door Activism.
And Jocelyn.
And Jocelyn Villapando, Northern Door Activism.
So, Emma, before I interrupted you, Kate was mentioning getting organized about the same time in 2022. It seems to me there might be a common denominator there. Maybe a certain Supreme Court decision helped inspire this?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. That is when we formed, we put together in the span of 2 or 3 days after the Dobbs decision came out, a walk for women and for reproductive health here in Northern Door County. It was sponsored by about 40 different local businesses, and we had several hundred people in attendance. And after that time, we realized that there were some legs to this. People were asking us what we were going to do next. And what became a one-off event has turned into 2 years of events, bringing our community together.
Were you familiar with Emily and Jocelyn previously?
Nope, I didn't know them.
That's how this works, is expanding circles. Emily, let's pick on you next as far as what inspired you, not just to get involved the first time, but to keep doing what you're doing.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I think when I think about, being an activist, it often feels very serious. And obviously there are incredibly important aspect and life threatening aspects to reproductive freedom, especially in activism in general. But I think what's been surprising is just how much fun we're having as we're doing this. We're getting to know community members. All of our organizing members are mothers, just like Motherhood for Good, I imagine. So our kids are hanging out. And I think I've just been surprised by not only how much work and how much change hopefully we're making at a local level, but just we're getting to know our neighbors, and it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Jocelyn, finally, same question to you as far as, what inspired you and why you decided to stay involved.
Yeah. Well, my family moved up here from Chicago in July of 22. So when they were doing the march, I had not yet figured out who Northern Door Activism was. But my background is art and social justice in the arts. I worked with kids around creating social justice themes and then displaying art shows with the art that was coming from these themes. So then when I found out about, that there are this young group of women my age, we all have kids, most of us have kids. It was just an easy, I think I asked them, can I be part of your group? And then it's just taken off from there, and it fits. It's such a natural fit for all of us. We all have these different skill sets that we bring to the table. So it's been a really positive experience so far.
I love that. And I think I can definitely relate, as I know many people in our community, about not really knowing what you're starting when you start it, but knowing you need to do something. And then it kind of takes on a life of its own, which I think is really indicative of the momentum of women being politically involved in this state and in this country, not even just since Kamala, which has been, crazy momentum and enthusiasm, but since 2022, and really even going back to 2016 for many people. You guys talk a little bit about this term you call microactivism. Emma, can you talk a little bit about that to me and what you guys mean by that and how that kind of guides your work?
Yeah. So over the winter, Emily actually brought up this book that she had heard of or was on her list to read called Microactivism by,
Amkari Williams.
Amkari Williams, yeah. Thank you. and so we decided we would read this book, and it really inspired us. The whole idea of the book is to find out what you can do in small doses right where you are. It kind of it demystifies activism. It brings it down to a more approachable level. Takes some of the intimidation factor out of that and allows it to be, hey, if you make a difference for one person, that's great. That's important. If everybody can make a difference a little bit here and there, then that's something to build on. And those little teeny steps are what makes big change eventually. So that was our series this year. We've done small events in our community focused events. based on that idea of micro activism. And they have been some of the most fun, I think, and really successful events that we've done.
Yeah, so that we talk about that a lot. I didn't know that there was like an official term for it and a book on it. Emily, I love that and that you brought that to the group. Have you found introducing that concept to people and having it be almost a lower threshold, lower barrier is success? You're more successful getting people to step up and get involved? And then I'm assuming they even then do more after they do, you know, one small thing.
Yeah, I sure hope so. So our first, well, I guess first I'll step back and, you know, we mentioned like, I think, and in microactivism as well, they talk about helping you understand what your own special and unique skills are that you can give back. And I think our group does a very good job of figuring that out. So, you know, Jocelyn, you mentioned your background in art and in installation work. Last summer, this was before the microactivism movement, but we were like, wow, we have this incredible woman who's done, you know, public art installations. We worked on an installation related to gun violence in our community using her experience and skills. And then for this first microactivism event, Claire White, who's another member, she has a background in fashion, but sustainability focused. And really thinking about like how to rewear clothes, how to, you know, reuse, upcycle, you know, all of this stuff, which we all know. I mean, she talked a bit too at this event and had a little presentation about just the dangers of fast fashion. So our first microactivist event was actually a community clothing swap. We did it in March when we figured there was not much else going on in Door County. And we could not believe the turnout. I mean, right, guys, people that we've never seen before, really just looking for something to do and some way to give back that was helpful, that felt like you were physically doing something. And I think that's also our, we're having an event tonight. We're partnering with our the Northern Door Pride group, and it's a postcard event. And I just think there's something about the tangible thing in your hand when you're doing an event, even if it's like you send five postcards, right? Mm-hmm. Or like, I haven't worn this beautiful sweater. Let's hand it off to someone else. Like, I think the physicality of it, for me anyways, is part of what makes that micro activist work really meaningful.
Yeah, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And so Jocelyn, you coming up from very blue Illinois, where you previously lived, to Wisconsin, which is pretty purple, but Door County, I think, is, well, also purple, but maybe trending bluer. How has that adjustment been for you? And how are you guys feeling about the vibe overall in what's happening up there and how people are feeling?
Yeah, it is interesting. I came from a place where I correctly assumed mostly that everybody I spoke to and came across was blue, was progressive, thought mostly the same way I did. So being here, there is this feeling of caution. I have friends that are on both sides. There's a little bit less discussion, you know, because you're kind of tiptoeing to make sure that you're not going to say anything that offends somebody, because it just is so much more purple up here. And then, you know, you drive around, or I bike a lot back roads, and there are signs from both sides. It feels very 50-50 up here right now. But it also feels like there are these movements that, you know, between like the Dems and our group, I've just lost my, oh my gosh. Oh, are we on a break?
No, not to worry. Oh, no, we were just going to, I was just going to jump in to say that, again, it's these little conversations that you're having that you're not afraid to talk to anybody, because you can all still be friends. You can all still have a disagreement, but you make a difference, you know, on that one-to-one level. And taking nothing away from all the good progressive men who are out there, Emma, there is some. I've got a shirt that I had made up. It says Kamala and Tammy and Rebecca and Jody for the raises here. I have a feeling that you might already have one, or one's in the works, that says Kamala and Tammy and Kristen and Renee, talking about Kristen Lierley and Renee Popolam running for legislature out there. There's just something about having all these women supporting other women.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And having gotten to know Kristen over the last 2 years, we met her in 22, and she's kind of, she mentored us a little bit off the bat on how to get started. And then just being introduced to Renee, I think earlier this year, you know, the Dems and Indivisible, Door County, another group up here, were like, you have to meet this woman from Kewaunee. She's so wonderful. She's right, kind of aligned with you guys. So getting to know the two of them, Kristen and Renee, on a personal level has been incredible. And I could not be more excited to vote for them. And then add on to that, that we have, you know, above them on the ticket, Tammy Baldwin and Kamala. I mean, like, I get goosebumps every time I think about that's the ticket.
We do need that t-shirt.
We do.
There's still time. There's still time to make those shirts. For folks who'd want to know more about it, they are on Instagram at Northern Door Activism. Their website is northerndooractivism.com. And I'm quite certain that if people are interested, it's, again, not too late to start groups in your own area, however small, that you can either reach out to them, send a little fan mail, ask for some advice. But the same can definitely be said, Kate, as always, about Motherhood for Good. I am sure you are still hearing from people saying, what can I do from way out here in, you know, Grant County or whatever the case might be.
Yeah. And there's so many things you can do. And we're trying to post as much as we can. And I mean, you can go door knocking or you can do phone banks. There's a lot of virtual events you can go to. You can do postcards, put a yard sign up. There's so many different ways to get involved. Yes. Just do something.
Just do something. Just do something. Love it. Kate, thank you so much. Emma, Emily, Jocelyn, thank you so much. Best of luck to you. Thanks for visiting with us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
All right. And when we come back, Dominic Salvio will tell us all about his brand new show, Afternoons on the Civic Media Radio Network, back after this.
Sometime we'll get you and Greg. I know I got like a Jane on for a segment one of these days as well.
Absolutely.
It's been a lot of fun so far.
I'm just digging on it. I think it's great and very, very happy for you and how very, very lucky we are. So
yes,
it's a good deal.
I appreciate that, fellas. It means a lot.
It means a lot here too. And Greg, anything in particular we're going to tease for Matt Nair this morning?
We got Dr. Lyerly on at 10:30. We got
what?
Nice. We're going to talk about
she's everywhere.
And then, sports and weather.
Sports. Okay. Sounds groovy. All right. 15. So Thursday mornings normally bring us one Luke Mathers to tell us all about some of the great shows you can hear all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Luke is on a bit of a break. Last week we got to meet finally with Earl Ingram. And this week we get to meet with Dom Salvia of the conveniently named Dom Salvia Show, weekday afternoons, 4 o'clock here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dom, it is so awesome to have you here. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me. Greg, good to see you as well. Pleasure to be with you guys.
Wow, it's awesome to have you here. How are you liking the new gig so far?
Oh, man, it's been an adventure. Let's just put it that way. It's been so much fun. I've been lucky to have a lot of the Civic Media hosts come around. Kind of a Dom and Friends theme going on. Come and hang out with me in the studio. Had Matt Rothschild on yesterday. Earl's mm-hmm. coming on today. Pat, you know, I'll be hitting you up one of these days as well.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, I love to have these conversations and the banter with folks that are dialed in. Of course, we do the same thing. We take the guests. We'll get the political guests and the newsmakers. And, of course, engaging with the audience is really what I enjoy the most. And really having, you know, the community radio thing happening. And that's what really makes it a lot of fun for me.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's what I wanted to ask you more about is, you know, you've been doing radio for a lot of years here. And as you know, I can't even describe it as feast or famine. It's a lot of famine, 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 famine. Here's a good day, famine, famine. You know, it's not, it has its moments. And yet there is something so alluring about it that keeps us there or keeps us coming back, keeps us involved. It's so personable. It's what I hear from you all the time when you've got phone callers. And so I guess the way to say it is, Dom, you and I are not young men anymore. And yet, why do you keep coming back? Why the attraction of having these conversations in front of a whole radio audience full of people?
You know, the radio for me is the medium. I never really, when Kurt and I first kind of threw around doing a show together, 13 years ago, if you could believe it, we started talking about a podcast. It was just a way of bantering back and forth, talking about issues that, we care about as hosts and as friends. And so it ended up being, we ended up approaching iHeart and going onto the radio. So that became the medium. And nowadays, as you know, Pat, with all the streaming and the podcasting, there's lots of different ways to get that message out. But for me, it's really been about, keeping, if I could be inspiring, if I could be inspired by the vice president, keeping the joy, having the fun, and getting a good belly laugh when you can. I've been saying it recently, there's no guarantees. There's, politics and life and in radio, there's no guarantee. So make the best of what you got when you have it. Take the opportunities. Recognize that there is a responsibility, when you're behind that mic, when you are saying things and talking to people, words matter. We've seen that abundantly clear, given the circumstances in Springfield, Ohio, and the former president and J.D. Vance talking about these lies of the Haitian migrants legally here in Ohio. Those words matter. And to a small degree, what we do, what we say, and how we act, those things resonate as well.
When you say words matter, Dom, I really want to pick one particular word, and that word is democracy, because that's this hour's keyword in our Go for the Green or Gold text to win contest. So if you text democracy over the Civic Media app right now, you'll be up in the running if you text it by the end of the hour for gold jewelry. And maybe a grand prize drawing later, tickets to a green and gold game. Did I weave that in properly, Greg, as far as making sure we talked about the contest?
Just like butterscotch pudding, that was smooth and sweet.
great transition there.
Thank you. I mean, we're all about having the most awkward transitions in radio history.
If I may add to that, Pat, at 4 o'clock when I start my show, I'll be presenting the word of the day as well. So make sure you tune in at 4 o'clock.
That's right.
That word is rhododendron.
No.
Just kidding.
But again, it's about the interactions. I always said, people are like, well, you're a TV guy. Well, I did anchor the news for a while, but I did a lot of radio before that. I've done nothing but radio since that, because again, it's about the conversations. Frankly, the best part of being a TV anchor was the conversations when people would stop you in the grocery store, or they'd stop you at a restaurant and go, hey, what's the deal with such and such? And I actually want to tie it back to something from the last segment where they talked about, what was the term, microactivism, where we're so focused on things going viral. We want this massive audience for what we say or do, when the real key, Dom, is those little conversations in a grocery store or those conversations on a radio show. Yeah. That can do so much more than any just one moment that goes viral.
Well, every little incremental thing. It is about relationships, really at the end of the day. And the nice thing about the radio medium that we do now, Pat, is that, there can be instant response to the questions and the issues. On a television, if you're just presenting the news, there's no back and forth engagement in that. But really, it's about credibility. It's about, in my opinion, what I value, the credibility, being consistent. If you're wrong, you admit it, you say it, you move on, you learn from something. The older I get, the dumber I get, Pat. And I really appreciate the perspective. I learned so much from the audience. That's also been the other thing, man. They always started doing this thing. I didn't know who half of the local legislators were. I was more of a national thing. Hell, we talked about business quite a bit. So the continual learning process has also been a lot of fun for me.
Oh gosh, and amen to the older you get, the less I know. But it makes me appreciate all the more conversations like these. You can catch Dom every afternoon starting at 4 on Civic Media. Dom, great to have you here this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Greg. Have a great day, man.
You bet. Greg, you're back for Matt and Air on Air, 10 o'clock.
Yes, sir, with Dr. Kristen Lyerly at 10:33 and sports and weather in the second hour, and 11 o'clock keyword for the Go for Greener Gold contest.
Oh, there's that contest, too.
I know.
We're going to tell you all about it over and over again so we can make a winner out of you. Our usual Friday guests, including former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We'll also have Mark Jacob, Kia Vakil, and Dan Schumacher. Have a wonderful Thursday. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.